Welcome to the Should Have Bet More podcast presented by VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Solo pod, quick little solo pod here on a Wednesday show. Going to give me my thoughts here. WBC, maybe a little football, some college basketball. So we got a bunch of tournaments that start here on a Wednesday. And the college hoops with these conference tournaments, as much as I count down to the start of these, it is a little slow at the beginning here. Just, getting these going. It's really when you get to the later rounds of the championship games, unless you have bets on these tournaments, which I haven't the first couple days here. Horizon and the Sun Belt started Monday and Tuesday, but Wednesday is really when they really start to kick into gear here with the Atlantic Sun, Big South, Northeast Conference, Ohio Valley. There's a bunch of them, and then the ones that are already underway, Summit also starts here on Wednesday, and then a bunch more Thursday, Missouri Valley, West Coast Conference Tournament, and then Friday you get the SoCon, and then so on. As these, every day you just get more and more tournaments starting, and they come fast and furious once they get going. And Wednesday's the day where Monday it's only the Horizon, Tuesday it's only the Sun Belt, and then by Wednesday, I guess the Patriot League started on Tuesday as well, but by Wednesday you start to get multiple at a time, multiple of days, and it's almost like they multiply. So we'll keep an eye on that. Our bet from the Monday show, Charleston Southern, that one is in action. They are in action here. That conference tournament gets going here on Wednesday, and I like that one 30-1. I mentioned on the show the other day. Played well against High Point and Winthrop, the two top seeds in that conference. They lost a bunch of games in overtime, so you can still get Charleston Southern 30-1 to win the Big South. But let's start here with the World Baseball Classic, and it's something I really didn't think I'd spend much time on. It's really something, to be honest, I haven't had much interest in years past. It's just, sports fans and bettors, we're all programmed where March, it's college hoops. April, it's, baseball and NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs, NFL draft. It's very hard. It's why spring football leagues never work. You're just never into football. I'm not into football. March, April, June, May, June, July. You could pile up all these spring leagues you want. It's very hard for people. People are programmed to watch the sports and be interested in the sports they're interested in at that certain time. That's why the COVID year was so weird when you had, the NBA into September, and it was just everything was kind of thrown off. But I'm kind of into the World Baseball Classic now, I have to admit, and it's partly because for Fox Sports, they wanted me to write something. I'm going on the Bear Bets podcast on Wednesday, I think with Bear and I believe John Smoltz. Well, I know Bear's going to be on it, and I'm not sure if Sammy P and Jeff are going to be on it, but I'm pretty sure it's Bear. I know it's Bear and possibly Smoltz, which would be fun. So couldn't just write something and go into the podcast without doing any research. So the more research I did, the more I got interested in this from a betting standpoint. Now, I'll admit, it's hard. It's an exhibition. The pitchers can only throw 65 pitches max. They're more cameos than anything else. And Scooble's a perfect example of that, where you see Scooble on the U.S. roster, and we'll get to some of these rosters in some bets. You see Scooble, and you say, wow, they got Scooble, they got Skeens. Skeens is going to throw, it sounds like, in the pool play, and then the semifinals, if they got there, which you look at their roster and you look at the schedule, they should get there. Scooble's just going to throw 55 pitches against Great Britain and say, see you later, which on one hand is ridiculous, but on the other hand, I completely get it. You want these guys healthy for October, which is a long way from here. I mean, the World Series ended the day after Halloween. I think it was Saturday, November 1st, Game 7, Blue Jays, Dodgers. So that's a long way from now. And, you're pumping 110 pitches against Japan or whatever in early March. That's very concerning. These pitchers get hurt no matter what, and now you're going to add, stressful innings in March. So I understand it, even though it does look weird from Scooble's perspective. It's like, why even go if you're only going to throw 55 pitches? But I mean, at most, he was only going to throw two games. He wanted to participate, so it's to at least say he did it, even though it's going to be very much a cameo. But the format here, so I'm into it. I'm into it more than I thought. I'll get to the schedule here in a minute, which I think they did a better job with. It's still not perfect. It's still, it's March. You're going against college basketball, but they at least avoided the NCAA tournament. So I'll get to the schedule here in a minute, which I do think is relevant, and I do think will help with the juice, with the enthusiasm somewhat. And some people are just not going to be into it, which I completely understand. But they did do a better job here scheduling it if you're interested in watching it and getting into it. the format, 20 teams, four pools, pool A, pool B, pool C, and pool D, and the top two from each pool advance. After they each play three or four games, they each advance, and then you get eight teams. So two teams from each pool advance, and then you get single elimination starting in the quarters. That is Friday, March 13th will be the quarters. Okay, I'll get to the schedule here in a second. So the U.S. is going to advance. I'll just start with the top here, start with the odds. The U.S. is the favorite to win the whole thing. Even money, I guess, odds on it, DraftKings minus 110. Japan is plus 380, and Japan won the whole thing last time, and Japan beat U.S., and I thought it was a little bit of an overrated moment, but it was certainly fun and probably the most memorable moment in WBC history, and this is the sixth one where Ohtani struck out Trout, and they were still teammates back then. That was Ohtani's last year with the Angels. That was in 2023. Japan wins the game 3-2. They win the final. I don't call it the gold, right? I think it's just the final, the WBC final. And you had your moment there. Trout versus Ohtani was a lot of fun. The thing with Japan, you're thinking, wow, why are they plus 380? There's some value there. I don't think there is. I don't even think they're a lock to win their pool, and they are in pool C. And South Korea actually has a decent team, former KBO MVP. And, you know, Ryu, they don't have a ton of pitchings, but Ryu, who used to be a Cy Young winner before he went back to, back overseas. So South Korea is actually interesting in pool C. But the reason I'm out on Japan, you look at their pitching. And the year they won it, 2023, they had Ohtani, they had Darvish, who were established stars. And they had Sasaki, Yamamoto, and Imanaga from the Cubs all before they threw a pitch in the majors. So they had a stacked pitching staff, a stacked rotation. They have none of those five guys available from a pitching standpoint now. Ohtani is going to play, but he's only going to be a hitter. The other four are not going to participate. So their pitching takes a major, major hit in this tournament. Now, they could still hit, but their pitching is nowhere near what it used to be, and that is why they are plus 380. And it's always dangerous betting against them because they're motivated. This means a lot to them. This means more, I think, to the other countries than the U.S. And the U.S. this year is taking it a little more seriously with their roster and just the best players participating. The pitching's much better. I mean, you had guys like Wainwright and Kyle Freeland. I think Kyle Freeland started the championship game last time. Wainwright, who was a complete bet against, one of the worst pitchers in baseball that year, he was pitching big innings. So the U.S. did not put their best foot forward last time. They're going to do much better this time in terms of the pitching. But Japan, to me, doesn't have the pitching. The U.S., you look at the team. I mean, the lineup they put out today, on Tuesday, I should say, just a stacked roster, just a stacked team. When you have Judge, Harper, Schwarber, Bobby Witt Jr., Gunnar Henderson, I mean, it's a Cal Raleigh. It's just, it's a loaded scenario there for the U.S. team. And then you have Skeen, Skubal, although, like I mentioned, Skubal's going to be one and done. I could, they'd be great if I pitch, so it doesn't really matter that he's pitching. So Skubal's kind of there only in name only. But you got Mason Miller. You got Logan Webb. McClain from the Mets. So I guess they're lining up their pitching where, like I said, Skeens would throw the semifinals. Webb would throw the quarterfinals. And they throw McClain in the finals. So you're really not getting much of Skubal in high leverage spots here. He's just kind of one and done, making that cameo against Great Britain. But the lineup on Tuesday was Witt, Harper, Judge, Schwarber, Bregman, Cal Raleigh, Roman Anthony, Buxton, and then Bryce Terang hitting ninth with Gunnar Henderson coming off the bench, and they won 15-1. It's a ridiculous team. The pitching's really good. You got Mason Miller. And bullpens are going to matter in this because, like I said, the starters can only throw 65 pitches. They're probably not even going to throw that. So you're going to be looking at three, four innings in some of these spots, and it's going to be heavy bullpen. But they've got Mason Miller. They've got Bednar from the Yankees. They've got Hoffman, who pretty good closer, although he blew game seven for the Blue Jays in that World Series that I just mentioned for Toronto. But, I mean, the U.S. is rightfully favored. Japan is not worth a bet for me. The team I landed on, look at the roster for the Dominican Republic. The Dominican Republic, who is plus 450 at DraftKings, and I'll get to my thoughts here on MVP. I mean, this is just the most ridiculous. Now, they don't have great pitching. They've got Sandy Alcantara, who we'll see maybe a year after Tommy John or a year after. He's a couple years removed now from Tommy John. Maybe he'll bounce back and look like the Cy Young guy of 3 or 4 years ago. Maybe. But they do have Christopher Sanchez, and they can hit enough. So I'll read off this lineup, which is just insane. Maybe they can hit enough where you can kind of pick and choose where you deploy Sanchez, and you get your four or so innings out of him, and he's very efficient with his pitches, so maybe he can give you five in a big spot. And they've got a bullpen. They've got Brazoban, you know, kind of a high leverage guy, Camilo Duvall from the Yankees, Carlos Estevez, Wandy Peralta, Gregory Soto, Uribe from the Brewers. They've got a really good bullpen here, a strong bullpen, even though the starters, you know, Bayo, Christopher Sanchez is really good, but Bayo, Alcantara, Severino, okay. Okay, not dominant, serviceable. But look at this lineup. Junior Caminero, Vlad Guerrero Jr., Manny Machado, Ketel Marte, Perdomo, Jeremy Pena, Amed Rosario, Carlos Santana, O'Neill Cruz, Julio Rodriguez, Juan Soto, Fernando Tatis. So you're going Machado, Soto, Tatis, Julio Rodriguez, O'Neill Cruz. I mean, this is a loaded, loaded lineup. That is just going to be a dominant offense. They're minus 145 in some spots to win their pool. I think that's a good bet. They're plus 450 to win the whole thing. Again, I don't love the starting pitching, but this is a format where the starting pitching is kind of devalued, where these guys can only throw three or four innings anyway, and it's more bullpen and lineup. And if you're going to win with bullpen and lineup, that's a good bullpen. And to say that's a great lineup, that lineup's probably better than the U.S. lineup. I mean, the U.S. puts out a hell of a lineup, and you got Judge in the middle of it, who's the best hitter in the sport. But that Dominican lineup, and Dominican, like these other countries are motivated, they'll be motivated. That, to me, is a loaded, absolutely loaded lineup there, and the plus 450 I do think is worth a bet, especially when they're backed here with a pretty good bullpen. And a couple looks for MVP. Soto, who's got a flair for the dramatic. He gets big home runs. I mean, think of the Guardians home run his year with the Yankees, and it makes me sad to say that about that way, his year with the Yankees. That it was only 1 year, but that home run that put him in the World Series, their only World Series appearance since 2009, he hit big home runs when he was there with the Nationals in 2019. He is a clutch player, a big-time player. Plus, you can't pitch around him. His eye's so good, he'll take his walks. Well, you can't just say, all right, we'll walk him and we'll pitch to the next guy. I mean, the lineup around him is so loaded that you're going to have to pitch to him. So Soto at 28-1 to win tournament MVP is a fun one. That's one I think is worth a bet. Again, if you just want a little rooting interest, I think there's value there. And Junior Caminero hit 40-something homers in the game he had Tuesday. 4-for-4, 3 singles and a homer, all the exit velocities over 110. He is going to be a tremendous player. He's an MVP-level player one day. I know it's hard to win these MVPs with Judge there. You know, Kurtz is eventually going to have something to say in these MVP races. But Junior Caminero, 80-1, to me, that is a good bet. Those are both fun ones to have if you like the Dominican. The odds for MVP, Judge is the short shot, as you'd expect, plus 750. The rightful favorite, just like the U.S. is the rightful favorite, but is there really value? Do you really want to bet single-digit odds when anyone can win it? I don't. Otani 11-1, Skeen 16-1. That'll be tough when you're not pitching the championship and you're only going to throw a handful of innings in the semifinals. They're going to really give it to a pitcher, a starting pitcher? Probably not. Harper 17-1, Schwarber also 17-1, Bobby Witt 19-1, Logan Webb 20-1. I would not bet that. Don't waste your money on Logan Webb. He's going to pitch the quarters and he's going to be done. Guerrero 22-1, Gunnar Henderson 22-1, and then you get to Soto 28-1. Everyone else is 28-1 or higher. Buxton 30-1, Cal Raleigh 30-1. But if you like the Dominican, like I said, Soto at 28-1, Julio Rodriguez is 35, Tatis is 40, Marte, who's a tremendous player, is 45, and then all the way down to 80-1 at Caminero. Boy, that's there is some value there. I think, like I said, their lineup can really carry them. You know, any of those Dominican guys, I think, are worth a play here. I'm going to be sitting, if it's U.S. versus Dominican, I'll be sitting here rooting for the Dominican. But I do think that's, look, you got to go where the value is. And I do think that's probably what provides the value. People want to bet the U.S., root for the U.S. That nationalism kicks in. To me, that Dominican should not be plus 450 with that lineup and with that bullpen. And like I said, look for somebody to fade in the Japan bracket, because their pitching to me is not there. They're living on name. They're living on reputation. South Korea is 8-1 to win that pool. Chinese Taipei here is 20-1 to win that pool. I don't think either of those are terrible plays there. I think Japan is a little bit vulnerable, a little bit overrated based on their past reputation. The problem with I've had with this in the past, I know the first year they did it, way before college, way before the MLB season and way before March Madness, which I mean, I think is perfect. They probably thought it was too far before baseball, where you got to ramp it up, and that's just, it's long when you're starting in early February for this stuff. That's just, that's a long season. You want to make it as close to the season as possible for the sake of the players and just getting the pitchers in rhythm. It's more so the pitchers. The hitters can you know, you can hit all year round. It's the pitchers getting into shape, ramping up. And if the games are in early February and then you still got a couple months of the season, that's just a long season. No pitchers are going to participate. The closer you can get to the season, the more pitchers you're going to get. And last time in 2023, I remember, boy, I was barely paying attention to it. I remember being on, they went against the NCAA tournament, because I remember being somewhere watching UConn St. Mary's Sunday night, second round of the NCAA tournament, and one of the games was on. And you just, you can't go head to head with the NCAA tournament. This year, it's a little bit better. The quarterfinals, Friday, March 13th. That's in the heart of conference tournament week. But, you know, unless you're a diehard and probably not in, super into the conference tournaments, that's, I mean, you can watch both. Conference tournaments, you're not going to get cannibalized completely by those games on a Friday. And the more you get into the weekend, the more it's kind of out of the way. By Saturday and Sunday, most of the teams are, it's the bigger conferences. Most of the teams are in anyway. You get some of the smaller conferences, but you get the idea. The semifinals, and I thought they were good with this. So quarterfinals, Friday and Saturday. The semifinals, Sunday and Monday. The Sunday of selection show, and they wait till 8 o'clock Eastern, which is some open real estate, because you get the bracket at 6. All right, I like to watch all the coverage all night and start to, you know, prep for it and start to learn about these teams I don't know and, you know, go over your bracket mentally, just talk about it, watch some of the coverage. But by 8 o'clock, you've gotten the bracket, you've digested it. There's some real estate there where you start the game at 8 o'clock in the semifinals and you can watch the game if you're into it on the Sunday night of selection show. And then Monday, there's nothing on that Monday. That's another semifinal game. That's open real estate. So they plotted it well, I thought, with the schedule. And then Tuesday, you, that's the championship. You are going against one of the Dayton games for the play-in for the first four with the college hoops, with the, you know, the baseball game being 8 o'clock. So you will be head to head with that. But if that's the only thing you're competing against, that's not that bad. You can flip back and forth sometimes. Now you're probably going to cross over both games, because that first one starts pretty early. Then the second one starts a little like 9:30 Eastern. I think it's like 6:30, 9:30 starts that Tuesday in Dayton usually. So you're, the game's going to be competing against both, but it's only a couple tournament games. You know, if you're into the NIT, it's against the NIT. So they, bottom line, they picked a pretty good time to have this. They did not go up against the NCAA tournament for the most part. The only tournament game they're going against is their final. The baseball final is going against the first four in Dayton that first Tuesday, which you can live with. So I thought they did a pretty good job of mapping out the schedule. And again, we'll see if it gets some juice here, some interest. It'll be secondary to me, but now that I've got a betting interest in it, and just, you know, doing the research for this did spark a little bit of a, an interest for me, just from a handicapping perspective. So I'll be into it, and I'll definitely be keeping an eye on it. I'm not sure we're going to do it every day, but probably keep, you know, keep it updated more so than we would have been. So I'm a little more into it than way more into it than I usually would have been. But I like the Dominican Republic plus 450 at DraftKings. A couple of MVP shots: Soto 28-1, Junior Caminero 80-1. Football, before we bounce in, this will just be a quick little mini pod here. We'll be back with a normal show on Friday. Have a guest, probably talk more college basketball, more conference tournaments, and continue to get ready for the Major League Baseball season. It sounds like Crosby to the Bears is most likely. The tremendous pass rusher for the Raiders. He's hurt a lot, but he's a really good player. Kyler Murray to the Vikings, to me, makes a lot of sense. And there's not a lot of juice with these quarterbacks. You know, Cousins will land somewhere. We'll see what the Steelers do. They're going to run it back with Rodgers, I guess. I just, there's not a lot. There's not a lot in terms of free agent quarterbacks. It's not a good quarterback draft class. The draft, I'm not sure how much buzz it's going to have, because it's Mendoza, and then it's a whole bunch of, you know, when you don't have quarterbacks, everything else gets pushed up. So all the other kind of players get chewed up pretty quickly here, and it's not a quarterback-heavy draft. To say the least, and we know it's going to be Mendoza 1, and then it starts with the Jets at 2. From a betting perspective, Reese is the favorite. I thought Bain at 10-1. I think that's too long. I know Sando, I think it was Sando I read, said some people in the league think they'll take Bain. Nobody really knows. I know that Joe Douglas used to, Look, he would be tight with people in the media. I think he was tight with McShay. So what he wanted would kind of get out there and you could kind of glean what the Jets were going to do. I'm not sure that's the case anymore, but Bane at 10-1 to me seems too long. I know I'm not a scout or anything, but watching Miami as much as I did through that run, I'd be surprised if Bane is not a really good, if not a great pro. And I think 10-1 is worth a stab for the second pick. And wouldn't it be a little bit of poetic justice after they passed on Warren Sapp famously all those years ago, took Kyle Brady? Wouldn't it be a little bit of poetic justice if they took a Miami defensive lineman, you know, all these years, all these decades later? I think Bane is in play at 10-1. Now, who knows? Maybe they've made up their mind. Maybe Bane's not even in the picture. Maybe it's Reese. Maybe it's somebody else. But just with having no intel, having no inside information, Bane seems like a good play. And you're this far out, you want to take some stabs, take some looks at some long shots, because the information can change so quickly. You wouldn't be shocked if Bane is, you know, 2-1 in a month or even money. This stuff can change very quickly. I just think the long number on Bane is worth a bet. But to me, back to Murray, I think Murray to Minnesota makes a lot of sense. As a Viking fan, I've kind of talked myself into it, even though there's a lot not to like. He's too small. He's hurt a lot. He's not a great passer. But you put him with those weapons. You put him with O'Connell. You probably get him for the league minimum. You probably get him very cheap. And you give first dibs to McCarthy. And if McCarthy is either not good or hurt, both of which are possible, you have a free roll with Murray, where one of the two you figure could be healthy. And maybe one of the two can be good. So he's not a bad insurance policy. Again, you don't need much from that position if you're Minnesota. It's, you know, similar to the Seattle model, where Darnold did well with Minnesota the year before, and he played really well for Minnesota, and he did well with Seattle last year. Have a defense, have some skill guys. The Vikings have a pretty good offensive line, pretty good defense. They're going to have to pare back, it seems like, a little bit with their salary cap situation, but Murray makes perfect sense as a flyer. And Murray doesn't want to go somewhere, and you can't have Murray go somewhere. Like, him to the Jets makes no sense. You don't want to have him on a team where he's got to carry the team and uplift the team. You want to go somewhere where he can blend in and the team can carry him. I think Minnesota, and it sounds like that's the betting favorite here at the prediction market. It's kind of, you know, that's they're the favorite here to get him, and that makes sense to me. I do think that's a good fit. So we'll see here. Not a ton of free agents that matter. Trey Hendrickson released by the Bengals. Bengals screw that situation up from a contract standpoint for years. Crosby be on the move. Maybe the Bears. Murray. Some of these, you know, backup fringe quarterbacks like the Murrays, like the Cousins, will be interesting. But other than that, I'm not sure how much buzz the NFL offseason is going to have here in a week or two once we get going, but it's the NFL. It's always going to be, you know, you're always going to have names out there. Tyreek Hill is going to be out there. Tua is going to be out there. Tua will land somewhere. NFL usually gets a decent amount of buzz this week, and it's always right around, you know, conference tournaments, start of March Madness, that week of their free agency, there's always a decent amount of player movement. But best bets for the pod, and again, be back Friday with a normal show. Soto MVP for World Baseball Classic, 28-1. Caminero, 80-1. Dominican, plus 450 to win it. And Dominican, minus 150 to win their pool. So, quick little solo pod, get you caught up on the WBC. Again, more into it than I thought I'd be. I'm excited for it to get going here on a Wednesday. Again, I'm not going to be watching every inning or every pitch, but the fact that I got a little skin in the game, I'll at least keep an eye on it and see if we can win some bets from it. So appreciate you guys listening. Rate, review, subscribe. We will be back on Friday. See you then.